Gelling. Hank and Beryl are here on a period of furlough from their work in Belgium, and we're thankful they can be with us, and we ask you, brother, to come forward and share with us.
Good morning. It's nice to be all wired up and not have to worry about the mic in front of me. It's very good being with you. I enjoyed the singing very much. Enjoyed the Lord's table together this morning too. It was wonderful to be able to remember what he's done for us, to be able to concentrate on that. Sometimes we seem to concentrate on ourselves so much at times. We seem to sort of become the center of everything instead of allowing the Lord Jesus to be the center of everything. I would like to go with you this morning to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. And as you know, there are five poetical books in the Old Testament, and I just want to touch on each one of them just a wee bit. That may be just too much for one morning, but you know, after this morning, I'm gone again. You won't see me for another 5 years, so you'll be able to digest it and probably, hopefully, be able to do something with it. Proverbs chapter 1. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to receive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel, to understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instructions of your father, and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be graceful ornaments on your head and chains about your neck. Somebody said once that if you listen to the songs that a nation, a people sing, you don't have to know their laws. I don't know whether you caught that. Hey, if you listen to the songs that people sing, to the songs that a nation sings, a people sing, then you really don't have to know their laws. Because in the songs, it's basically wrapped up what lives and what happens in their lives. It was beautiful to sing these hymns with you this morning. We were driving up here this morning and we had CK and Exxon. We can even get that in Belgium, so you know, don't feel privileged that only you can listen to it. And Focus on the Family was on there. And there was a gentleman making a bit of a joke. And we turned it on just about at that time when it was going. I thought, where's this coming from? And he says, you know, he says, there's some churches in there singing. They're like 7-Eleven. And I thought, okay, 7-Eleven? What's that? Well, he says they have seven words to the chorus and they repeat them 11 times. Now, you know, you have to really be careful, okay? Because I'm sure that people that sing these seven words and repeat them 11 times, that they appreciate that too and that they have meaning in that. I don't want to put anybody down here. We have to be very careful in that. But there is something to that, isn't it? So, you know, the repetition. It's wonderful, these men and women that were used through the ages to write these hymns and that we can sing them together. Now, I was listening the other day to the Bill Gaithert Hour. I don't know whether you listen to that or not, or whether that day it's on Vision Canada. I'm not making any advertisements here for anybody, but they were a few of the quartets, and they were singing. And one of the young men said, just a part of the song, I'm not faultless. Now, there was a whole lot of other songs sung, but that sort of stuck in my mind. I'm not faultless. Now, you can use that as an excuse and say, well, you know, everybody is kind of... No, but I think he meant this sincerely. Hey, he was saved. There was a lot about that. He was a child of God. His sins were forgiven. But he realized at the same time, he wasn't faultless. God loves us in every situation that we're in. He doesn't always appreciate what we do, but he loves us. His love for us is constant, and we are forgiven. Now, these five poetical books, just a little bit about them. It goes from Job to Ecclesiastes, or to Song of Solomon. And Job, of course, is very well known in that there's suffering in Job's life. I don't know when you talk to people here in Canada what their reason is for not believing. But when I talk to people in Belgium, one of the major reasons that they don't want to believe in God is suffering. If there is an almighty God, like you say God is almighty, how come there's suffering? And we don't want to give easy answers to that. We want to be very careful. And I think sometimes our response to suffering would probably be to be a little bit more quiet and to be more caring. Sometimes we can be there with words, and they're important sometimes too. Hey, but especially that we care for people. Now, what I tell people, you know, I'm talking to them and they're saying, okay, well, you know, this God of yours and suffering and it can't be. I said, okay, so I take it you don't believe in God. Yeah, he doesn't believe in God. Maybe she doesn't believe in God. But I say, that doesn't take the suffering away, does it? There's still suffering. Where does the suffering come from then, as far as you're concerned? What causes suffering? Well, then they don't have an answer. Because if there is God, and we believe in God, and there's suffering, God will work with us through that suffering. We'll look at that just in a minute. On the other side, hey, Songs of Solomon, we have love. So the first one is about suffering. The last one is about love. Now, those are two aspects in our lives. I'm sure that every one of us here has suffered to some degree. Some have suffered more than others, but we've experienced some suffering. Hopefully, you've experienced some love too. Hopefully, the Lord has poured out his love into your lives, but he's also brought somebody into your life to love and to be loved and to have a family and all these various things that come with it. The second book, the one after Psalms, is after Job, is Psalm. And in the Psalms, we have the living with God. Job suffered, but at the same time, he lived with God. We love, and yet we live with God too. The second last one is Ecclesiastes, the preacher. And what was the preacher looking for? Satisfaction. Satisfaction. He was looking to find a reason for living, and he tried just about everything, and he was looking for satisfaction. I don't know whether you're planning on coming back tonight, but I want to show a little bit of a PowerPoint presentation. I want to just start off where we were, because I was like the preacher, like Ecclesiastes. I wasn't a preacher then, but I was looking for satisfaction. I was looking for a reason for living. If somebody had said then, you're going to become a preacher, I would have run, and I would have had so much speed, I would have crossed Lake Huron without falling in. No way, that was not going to happen, because that was about the worst occupation anybody could have. You know, we went to church, and the most favorite word that the preacher could say was, amen. I knew it was just about over. It was just about done. And then we sang a hymn and we were delivered. I was delivered. I shouldn't talk for others. I was delivered. And then we could go outside. You know, you might wonder, well, why did you go to church? Well, we were brought up that way, but there was also an ulterior motive. Because if you didn't go to church, and this is, I'm talking now when you're 16, 18, if you didn't go to church, you didn't know where the party was at night. Now, you don't have a problem with that today. You know, you can go like this, like that. Hey? Did you hear about the little girl who was sitting at the kitchen window, and she was looking at a bird in the garden, and she put her fingers on the glass, and she spread her fingers, and she was waiting for the bird to come closer. Mommy, it's not working. Well, no, that'll come. Just wait a bit. It'll come. You put your fingers on the window, and the bird will come closer. So nowadays, if you want to know where the party is, all you have to do is have one of these devices. But back then, you know, if you didn't go to church, you didn't know where the party was, and you'd be driving around all Sunday night, and you probably hit all the wrong places. Well, I'm really, really glad that the Lord did something. We'll talk about that a little bit tonight. And then in the middle, from these five poetical books, we have Proverbs. And Proverbs starts here, tells us who wrote it. He gives us the reason why he wrote it. And towards the end of verse 4, I write in my Bible, I don't know whether that's legal or not, or whether that's okay, but I wrote in here, think things through. Think things through. And that is very, very, very important. Whether it is in suffering, whether it's in living with God, whether it's in receiving wisdom, whether it's in seeking satisfaction, or whether it's in love, think things through. Stop and think and realize that every decision you make, it has consequences. Sometimes people make decisions and they don't realize, if I decide to do this, then that's going to follow on behind that. So it's so wonderful that Proverbs, great big long book, 31 chapters, and it's beautiful to read that together. We went through that with our children when they were teenagers. We were at a cottage. We were here on furlough. And no, we were in Switzerland. We weren't on furlough. We were in Switzerland. And we had a conference, and we went through Proverbs. And that has stuck with them quite a bit. Now, that was a long time ago. And we're trusting that they're going through that on their own now. You can instill things in your children, but it has to become something that is real for them themselves. Let's just turn for a moment to Job. And let's just look at the last little bit of Job. We're not going to read Job, all of Job, of course. There have been many, many books, many good books written on Job. It's sometimes just a little bit long, but that's the Eastern way. They talk a lot and they listen a lot. Hey, and sometimes I talk too much. My wife tells me that, and I'm a good listener to whatever she tells me. I listen to that. Hey, and she says, telegram style, don't go on and on and on. Hey, so Job, he goes through a whole lot of stuff, a whole lot of difficult stuff, and then he comes to the conclusion in chapter 42, verse 4. And it says here, listen, please, and let me speak. He's talking to God. He's saying, Lord, please listen. He's been talking so much that now, okay, Lord, I've talked so much. Will you please listen to me now? Let me speak. You said, I will question you and you shall answer me. And here's his answer. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes see you. He's had a personal relation. He got a personal relationship with God. He made all the right moves and he did all the right things. And sometimes we get into that. We know exactly what we should do, how we should behave, what we should say. But how personal is our relationship with the Lord? Sometimes we sing a song, Prone to Wander. And I remember when we first got saved, And the brother that had the leading of the singing, he said, let's sing this hymn. And here we're singing, Prone to Wander. I'm thinking to myself, man, Whoever wrote that hymn? Prone to wander. How could you ever wander when you get to know who the Lord Jesus Christ is, and when you know that your sins are forgiven, and you know you're on your way to heaven, and then to wander? Honestly? Well, time goes on, doesn't it? Hey, and really, we should go from victory to victory, shouldn't we? We should go from victory to victory. Hey, Jesus is sweeter than the day before. You know, I listen to that sometimes, and we sing it sometimes, and then I have to kind of catch a hold of myself and, hey, is that really so? Well, it is, but I don't always experience that. It's amazing how things can become ordinary. We come back and we see everybody, a lot of people, driving these big pickups, man. Whoa. And I said to Beryl, look at that. And we were in the garage getting some work done on my sister-in-law's car. And there was this huge, I mean, you couldn't really drive them in Belgium because you'd never find a parking space, you know. But here, these huge trucks. Beautiful. You have to climb in. I had to help Beryl get in, you know. And you know what? Now, maybe some of you drive one of those. And you're probably saying, yeah, and then? You get used to it, don't you? We get used to things. We get used to being Christians. And that's why it's so precious that we can come together. And just that 1 hour, not we need to do that at home, and but just that 1 hour that we can concentrate not on you and me, but we can concentrate on the Lord. Because it can become normal. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. But man, we're having such a good time here. And that's why sometimes when people go through suffering, it becomes so much more precious. There's a brother in Belgium. His name is Franco. He got saved about, 30, 35 years ago. And he was a bit of a nitpicker. Don't tell anybody I said that. Hey, but he was a bit of a nitpicker. And it didn't take very long. And he left the assembly because there were some things that he didn't agree with. And then the church he went to, he left that. And he left again. And he went to all the families of churches, not every church, but all the families of churches in Limburg. And about 7 months ago, his brother phoned me and he says, Franco's sick. And I went to see Franco. And Franco had cancer. He really had cancer bad. And I visited him probably every 2 weeks. At the end, I visited him about every week. And as we were getting closer to him going home, there was such a change in him. When I first came, he still had his horse, his hobby horses. Well, you can't call him that. I mean, hey, but his particular way of looking at things, and he's trying to. I said, Franco, does that matter right now? Yes, but we have to. Yes, I know, but does it matter right now? Well. And you know, the last 3 or 4 times I went, he laid in his bed. He could barely put his head up. He from times, he just sort of faded in and faded out. But we had such a wonderful time of fellowship with the Lord. It just took all that other stuff away. And you know, I realize We have to have doctrine, and we need to stick to doctrine and theology and all that. I understand that, and I'm not belittling that either. Don't get me wrong, but in the end, it's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you have a little bit of an other idea on some of the other things, hey, let's be loving. Let's love people. Hey, hopefully other people will love us too, because we have a little bit different than what somebody else might have. But in the end, knowing Christ, knowing our sins are forgiven. And every time I prayed with him, he prayed. And then we had to go to Belgium. And he was very sad. No, we had to go to Canada. Yeah, Canada. He was very sad because he wanted me to do his funeral. His brother did it. Hey, and he has one son who isn't a Christian yet. But in that suffering, he drew so much closer to the Lord, and the Lord meant so much to him, and it wasn't any more getting it all right. And again, it's good to get it all right, but don't let that cause division, and I don't know what all it, hey, think sometimes Lord looks down and doesn't say, okay, God, what are you doing now? No, and he loves us, and he wants to carry on with this, and I'm very thankful for what he's doing in each and every one of our lives. Just let's go to Songs of Solomon for a minute. Hey, this is the suffering. Hey, he says, now he knew the Lord. He drew closer to the Lord. He knew him very, very, very well. And then in Songs of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, we do a lot of premarital counseling over there. And I love that. Man, these young couples, they come in and they're just all smiles. And they're just all so, you know, and whoa, fantastic. And then we talk about, you know, some things could happen. And they look at us and, well, this will never happen to us. And we had two couples get married on the 7th of June. And we had to be here. Beryl's sister was married 50 years, so we wanted to be there for that. You can't be in two places at once. We'd have loved to have been there. Hey, they're both married now. What are they married? 2 weeks? A week? Hey, a week? Well, they'll still be smiling and bubbly and everything. And it's great, you know. I love falling in love. If it wasn't for falling in love, man, I live with my mom. And she knew me through and through. And she knew exactly how I like my pork chops. And she knew everything about me. I mean, and she looked after me. And if somebody had said, do you want to leave your mom? I was going to marry my mom. When I was 4 years old, I told her, Mom, I'm marrying you. And then a little later on, you know, I got, what am I going to do with him? My dad. Man, that was a shock in my life. So I said to her, I says, Mom, I said, I got bad news. Oh boy, what is it? I can't marry you. You can't? No. I said, I don't think Dad would like it. No, maybe he wouldn't. But I said, you know, Mom, when I get married, I'm not going to give all my money to that strange girl. I'm going to give you the half. Well, she was waiting. She's been waiting. Oh, she's in heaven for quite a while now. But it never happened, you know? So what happened? I fell in love. Hey, and whoa, man, you know, there's all kinds of stuff happens inside you. And you're willing to leave your mom to be with. Hey, and we got married and Mike pork chops. Well, okay, you know. But you take that all in stride. Hey, no problem. Hey, and I'm still living, so, you know, it's a good thing. What does it say here in chapter 2, verse 2? The beloved, hey, the bride, she speaks. The husband, he speaks. Like a lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. That one woman was everything for him. And here you might think, well, it's all about looks. It goes much further than looks. A lily has to be taken care of. Thorns, amazing. They grow everywhere. It can be dry. You can pull them out. They'll come back. They're always there. But lilies, man, if you don't look after lilies, you've got a problem. So hopefully, men, you will look at your wives and say, you're my lily. You're my lily. And all the others around are thorns. Now, you know, it only goes so far because the other man would say, hey, hold on, my wife is a lily. So we won't get into an argument about that. Hey, but you realize what's going on here. And then in verse 3, this young lady was wise. Like an apple tree amongst the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. She didn't say, like an oak among the trees of the woods, so is my beloved among the sons. An oak, you know what an oak is? An oak is macho. An oak is macho. An apple tree, oh, they can be sort of crooked sometimes and one thing or another, but they'll take care of you. The macho guy. I don't know whether you folks read books. You probably all read deep theological books, hey, and I read them too sometimes. But sometimes, especially when we're in Canada, I like to read a novel. Whoa, now I'm telling about myself, right? And you know, I read a book, just finished it a couple of days ago, and it's by Francine Rivers. I don't know whether any of you have ever heard of Francine Rivers. Maybe only women read Francine Rivers. Well, men, if you have never read a book by Francine Rivers, I would encourage you to do that. And her latest book is The Bridge to Haven. And it's about a young lady, a beautiful young lady, and her downfall. You know what her downfall is? Oh, there's a lot of stuff happened. But she met a macho guy. Girls, if you meet a macho guy, and guys, if you're macho, tone it down. Tone it down. Become a little bit more like an apple tree. Take care of that young lady that comes into your life. Don't just be the yucks of machos. You know what they think about? They think about themselves. And this young guy that this girl ran into, he could only think about himself. And it caused such heartaches. It caused such problems. We want to go to Psalms for a minute. The Psalms, Psalm 3, and it's Father's Day, and our brother gave us some wonderful thoughts on that this morning already, so I won't repeat all of that, but Father's Day, hey, and here in Psalms, we have the living with God, and here David gives a heading. Or maybe the heading was put there later. Hey, in Psalm 3, in my Bible, it says, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. And then it says, Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. And he goes on and pours out his heart before the Lord. Now, we know about Absalom, don't we? And we've been in an assembly for a while, then you get to know all the stories from the Old Testament history. It all happened. There's such wonderful things in there to learn from. And often when a son goes wrong, we say, bad boy, bad son. And was Absalom a good son? No, he had some issues, for sure. But Dad had some issues too, didn't he? And sometimes we have to be careful. And see, the funny thing is when you go through the Bible, you have some fantastic fathers. And they have horrible sons. And you have some horrible dads. And they have wonderful sons. So then you think, well, Lord, what are you trying to teach me? Well, some of those things, that isn't so easy to place that. But we need to realize as fathers that we have a great responsibility and that our sons watch us, our sons look at us. And David started off so well. He did such a tremendous job. And then as he got a little older, there was a point where he made a wrong decision. He made He was in a wrong place. There was a wrong activity. And he made a wrong decision. There was a time when the kings would go out to fight. Now, you know, again, why would they do that? But, I mean, that was in those days. Hey, and what did David do? Well, he sent his general. He said, hey, man, you know, I mean, I've fought so much and I've had so many victories. And now I'm reading into that. I realize that. But he stayed home. And he didn't go. And then he had a wrong activity. He got up from his rest bed. You say, ho, 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 there's nothing wrong with that. I got up from my rest bed this morning too. You know, sometimes a mattress wins, right? Hey, talk to people in Belgium and say, when do you decide to come to the services on Sunday? Oh, when I wake up on Sunday morning. I said, well, that's not a good time to decide that. Well, yeah, I've come to the point now. I'm going to decide that on the Saturday. I said, that's not good either. Actually, what you should do when you walk out of here, you should decide, I'm coming back tonight, or I'm coming back next week. You know, then the mattress won't win. Well, here, David, the mattress didn't win. He got up. And I have the nerve to say it was the wrong activity. Yeah. Because it says, didn't even say in the afternoon. It said in the evening he got up from his bed. He'd been laying around all day. Hadn't been doing anything. No activity. And then he gets up. Wow, I don't know. Have you ever laid around all day? Man, that's horrible. That's my dad taught me to work. And man, if in the middle of the day, if we were not working, you know, that has some downsides too. Because for years in Belgium, if I was reading a book during the day, I'd feel guilty. I had to be working, I had to be doing this or that or the other. But here, David got up. Yeah, fairly late. And he went for a walk. Well, there's no air conditioning in those days, and maybe as you got up a little bit high, and maybe the breeze was up there a little bit more, and he took a walk on the roof. And then he saw something. Now, that in itself, he couldn't do anything about that. I often wonder how that lady ever got there doing that at that time of night, but that's another story again. You know, but he watched. And you know what I would say to David at that point? Let the birds fly, David. Let the birds fly. You say, that's crazy. Why would you ever say that to David? Well, temptation, somebody said that one time and I picked that up and it stuck with me. Temptation can overcome every one of us. Just like a bird can fly over your head. Can you imagine if the bird flies over your head and you started jumping up and down? Well, then probably somebody would say, oh, they've got problems with birds, you know? But just let them fly. Let the birds fly. Just let them, it'll pass. But if all of a sudden you feel this wonderful feeling on the top of your head, and these birds' feet, they come there, and they massage your head, and you let the bird sit, and you let the bird make a nest on your head, big problems. Let the bird fly, David. He didn't. He had the bird land on his head and made a nest. And that caused all kinds of problems. Was he forgiven? Oh yeah, we know the story very well, don't we? He had Nathan come. Nathan had to be a prophet. Nowadays, a lot of people want to be prophets. I wonder sometimes if they were to look back in the Old Testament, you know, how it went with prophets. Isaiah and all these different ones. Jeremiah, do you want to be a prophet? Well, this prophet had to come. Told him a story about a couple of men that had a sheep, had a lamb. And David came to realize I was wrong. No. First of all, he was all upset. That man, terrible man, awful man, that took that poor fellow's one lamb, he took it away. Here, this guy had a great big huge barn full of sheep, and he didn't want to give them luncheon, and he took that, and oh, he's got to pay fourfold. He should die. And then Nathan took his life in his hands, and said, you're that man. And then David repented. But the results stayed. The results in the lives of his children, they remained. So it's so important, brothers, that we look to the Lord and we trust him and we allow him to continue to work in and through our lives, and that we think things through and every aspect of our life, that we ask ourselves, Lord, if I make this decision, if I allow this into my life, what is going to happen? And you have to be clear-minded then. If you let yourself be led by emotions or anything else, it'll all go down a steep hill. So it's so important to be fathers who can be trusted. You know, I know a lot of people in Belgium. I know them very close. Get to know as you're working with them. And sometimes it happens that a man is a different man in the assembly than he is at home. And that's deadly for the children. That's awful for the children. If dad stands up on a Sunday morning and reads something from the scriptures or does something else in the church, and he's the spiritual man, and he's at home, he's a totally different man. We don't have to go into details, and maybe there isn't anybody here like that. Let's pray that there isn't anybody here like that. But sometimes it happens. Sometimes it happens in some of the, you know, where you wouldn't expect that at all. And if you have any tendencies towards that, brothers, I don't know you. If you have any tendencies toward that, please repent. Please go to somebody and talk to them. And dare to listen to them. And dare to listen to good advice. And get help to get over that. To be especially towards your wife and children. Because who know me the most? That lady that's sitting there. And three kids that are in Belgium. They know me through and through. I can stand up here and I can do whatever I like. Hey, and I'll go home and you know, you don't know me. I may be just putting on a show, but she knows me, and my kids know me. And I'm not faultless. I have faults. I remember one time we had a time of child rearing, hey, and there was a young Spaniard there. We have a lot of different nationalities there. And I mentioned that if a father did something, they should apologize to their wives. Well, he's sitting there and his seat is getting warm already. And I said, really, you know, I said, if you do something wrong towards your children, you should apologize. You should go to your children and say, Daddy did something that wasn't right, and I want to ask you to forgive me. Well, the guy just about exploded. What? Me? Say what? Yeah? Well, he's nowhere today. He's absolutely nowhere. He's back in Spain. He's got his third wife. She's not his wife. You know, so things can go so badly wrong from time. We have one left, and our time is just about gone. And we want to go to Ecclesiastes chapter, the very last book of Ecclesiastes. We'll find this yet. There's Song of Solomon yet. And now we're in Ecclesiastes. And here it says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Here Solomon had tried everything, hadn't he? I mean, if you look at what all he built and what all he tried out, it was unbelievable. You'd think he was a multi-billionaire, and it was all money came from the people. You know, we talk now about our governments and everything, and it's nice to be away from it. I'm a pilgrim. I don't vote here. I don't vote in Belgium. I have nothing to do with governments or whatever, so I can understand, you know, sometimes. But, man, we should have been living in the time of Solomon. Man, that was expensive to keep that man. To keep all his whatever it was. So here he comes to a conclusion. And here it says, fear God. That's what we started with, wasn't it? Fear God. Have a deep respect for God. Fear God and keep his commandments. It isn't enough just to fear God, but it's also to keep his commandments. To have respect for God. And if you have respect for someone, then you're going to listen to them too. For this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every work into judgment, including every secret thing, whether it's good or whether it's evil. We heard about that earlier on this morning already too, didn't we? Everything we do. Now, I have this thought that if we do things wrong, God is going to forgive us for that. I don't think when we come before the judgment seat of Christ, God is going to point out our sins. Because our sins have been forgiven. Maybe he'll show us a blueprint. Hey, this is just my thought. Maybe he'll show us a blueprint and say, this is what I had in mind for you. This is what I wanted to do in your life. And this is what happened. let's hope and pray and trust and work that the blueprint that God has for our life, that that will fit with what we're doing, that we'll follow him in that and realize that that loving God gave everything so that we might belong to him and we might love him and we might trust him and we might live for him. Heavenly Father, what a privilege to be able to come to you. What a privilege, Lord, to know that we are children of the King, that we have been saved, redeemed. We thank you, Lord, for the willingness to pay the price, to become the Lamb of God, and that you took away the sins of the world, but especially, Lord, that you took away my sin, our sins. And we belong to you, and we praise you for that. And we pray that as we leave this place, we might live lives of victory, live lives that are pleasing to you, that we might fear you, and that we might obey you. Go before us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen.